I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Will the government open this upcoming week? This is getting seriously impacting the U.S. economy. What's your take?
I think it's likely to open Wednesday or Thursday of this week. The Democrats will wait until after Election Day because they think a shutdown is good for energizing the crazies in their party. But I think it'll be either late this week or early next week.
Are you going to have to give on the Obamacare subsidies?
No, the Democrats will collapse entirely.
I hope he's right. Senator Ted Cruz with Maria Bartiromo, saying the shutdown is going to come to an end as soon as we get past today. And the election results of today, not only in New York City, but a couple other races, obviously, that are big concerns for Republicans and Democrats. But after that, the Democrats realize we've got nothing else to hold on to. And those of us who are facing re-election in the midterm, we need to put our house in order. I think Senator Cruz is right about that. They're going to back off. We are now at day 35 of the shutdown. Day 35. Now, for many of you, you probably haven't felt any impact whatsoever. And I do feel for those who truly rely on and need and have no other option than SNAP benefits, supplemental nutritional assistance program for food and things, especially for the children. I do feel for it. But the Democrats had a chance to resolve this simply by signing off on that clean bill. But no, they wanted to rewrite it and throw in all of the stuff that we made sure got cut out. Money to illegals, money to PBS, money for transsexual surgery, sexual identification in some Far Eastern African nation. I mean, I could go on and on. It was filled with CRAP. And yet, the Democrats, because they're being led by Chuck Schumer, did not want to budge. Schumer had to stand tall and firm because he expects to be challenged in his next election by AOC or some other leftist. And he's trying to show, I can be just as left as you are. Today also is the New York City election. The polls officially close at the end of this hour. They close in just under an hour in New York City. Various results and numbers have come in. Not sharing any of those right now because I don't know how they're really being distributed, where they're coming from, and so forth. We'll have a better look at it tomorrow. And tomorrow morning, John Labutiere, a never-Trumper, will give his view on what happened. Trump did step forward and endorse Andrew Cuomo, saying we cannot have Mondani running our nation's largest city. That, I would be interested in John Labute's view of Trump siding with Cuomo. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA. We give you news, analysis, opinion, and education. In fact, in the last hour, if you were taking notes, you were not listening the last hour. Well, you know, that's a good thing we put up everything as a podcast when we complete the program. They all go up as a podcast, audio and video, because we are live streaming video right now as I'm speaking to you. But if you can't catch all of it, you want to go back and pull something up, and go to News Talk STL podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook, or any platform you want to get your podcast. You will find us. Simply search Larry Connors USA. But if you missed the previous hour, in addition to missing a great story behind the story, which we're now using to close each first hour, you also missed how Trump is not doing anything other presidents have not done when it comes to blowing cocaine running ships out of the water. It's all available in the last hour. But now dealing with the closure and how it's been affecting everything and everyone. Our labor secretary says, we have a lot of Americans who've been suffering and we just need the Democrats to step forward and put an end to this.
We can see during this government shutdown how painful a missed paycheck is having on the American workforce. You saw Madison talk about to that young man who said, I have to invest in myself. I have to remember that I'm the driver of my own bus. And now the government is not working for them because Democrats have chosen to play this game. I couldn't be more frustrated. I visited your air traffic controllers. You had your guest on prior to that as well. They are working around the clock to keep Americans safe, and now we're not providing what they need from the government to keep it open. And I visited those air traffic controllers. We need, what, 4,000 more air traffic controllers?
We need 4,000 more than what we already have. And there are those who are calling in sick. They're not being paid. They don't want to work if they're not being paid. This is an area which should be considered essential. We've got to have air traffic controllers if we want planes to fly and for safety reasons. The way they will handle it now is fewer controllers, well, fewer flights will be scheduled. They will cut back on schedules. And if you have a flight you're trying to catch for a connecting flight, you might get your first flight out, but you might miss the second one. Maybe because it's canceled. But again, there you have the Labor Secretary Chavez pointing out, we just need to get everybody back to work. Can we just come up with that idea? Then, of course, don't forget, the Democrats want more, and we're beginning to realize now how much federal subsidies were going into Obamacare. And Trump says, we'll put it back in action if the Democrats will step up.
Obamacare is terrible. It's bad health care at far too high a price. We should fix that. We should fix it. And we can fix it with the Democrats. All they have to do is let the country open and we'll fix it. They have to let the country open and I'll sit down with the Democrats and we'll fix it. But they have to let the country. And you know what they have to do? All they have to do is raise five hands. We don't need all of them.
That's right. We just need five more votes. Trump had talked about going the nuclear route and just ending the filibuster. Others are saying, nah, let's don't do that. Let's keep it in place. But again, he's saying, look, we sit down, we will work with you. You want to extend the Obamacare effort? Actually, there was a proposal at one point by Speaker Mike Johnson that we'll extend it for a year if you'll come back and resolve everything else and just get the government back on track. But Chuck Schumer said, no. No, I will not bend a knee to Donald Trump. I will bend a knee to AOC because I'm scared of her. And our energy secretary points out, in dealing with not just our energy, but our nuclear weaponry, we need more preparation.
We're going to maintain safety and security of the existing nuclear arsenal, which is essential for the sovereignty of our nation. But it's deeply irresponsible to see the Democrats run this, you know, more than a month now. And unfortunately, we ran out of budget gymnastics we could play, and we have to start furloughing workers who are developing our next generation nuclear weapons and nuclear stockpile. This is very frustrating to me and angering, frankly.
It should be. And we're having to furlough workers in that division, which we did not want to. The cuts are getting deeper. The Trump administration is saying it will restart SNAP food benefits, but it's only going to pay out about half of what normally you would be getting. If you are a SNAP benefit, you're going to get a check, but it's going to be about half of what you normally would. Now, again, if You are simply living on the government teat because you do not want to work, and yet you're perfectly capable of doing it. Then you should get out there and find a job, a J-O-B. The Trump administration did tell two federal judges, we will restore funding for SNAP, but there could be lengthy delays before the money even gets into the hands of low-income families who depend on SNAP. Why is this happening? Because the Democrats will not come together and pass this continuing resolution bill, which they voted on and did vote for back in March. Currently, we have 1 in 8 U.S. residents getting an average, and I'm talking about U.S. citizens. I'm not even talking about the illegals. 1 in 8 Americans getting an average of $187 a month per person. Almost 40% are children and adolescents under the age of 18. So, yes, they need help. So the effort now is we want to get some money out. It'll take a while, and it's actually going to be only half. Thank God for the food banks that are out there and for those of you who contribute. You're helping more than ever before. And why will they not come to the table and deal with this? I'll give you the reasoning as it's expressed by an Oregon Democrat, Janelle Bynum. She claims that anything the Republicans put in front of us is meant to kill us.
They did have a clean CR vote on September 19th in the House. Did you vote for it?
I disagree with your characterization and want to make sure that we're very clear about what Republicans have been doing. Any bill that they've put forth, they've always had some extra stuff to it. There's always been a poison pill to it. So I disagree with your characterization.
What were the poison pills of the clean CR or the continuing resolution? Yeah. You say it's not clean, that was voted on in the House in mid-September.
Here's what's important. I think what you're trying to do is shift the responsibility
U-turn.
To Democrats.
U-turn. Here's what's important. I know I said something about a poison pill, and now you ask, what is a poison pill? What kind of thing? Well, here's what's important. You're trying to make me say things I didn't intend. You just said it yourself. The bill is filled with poison pills anytime the Republicans put it in front of us. What kind of poison pill? Give me an example. There is where reality bites you in the butt. You don't have an example because you're making it up as you go. I got to tell you, the left should all get together and start writing fiction novels and so forth because there'd be some great pieces of fiction. Still wouldn't read them. And I'd be worried how many lies are being told even while it's meant to be fiction. In the Middle East, the peace between Israel and Hamas is still holding. More needs to be done. Some necessary actions will not be easy. Retired General Jack King.
But the United States is proposing to the UN Security Council the organization of an international stabilization force. It'll probably take a couple of 3 weeks for that to get approved by the UN. Certainly, that force, they believe, should work with newly vetted and trained Palestinian police that are being trained by Jordan and also by the Egyptians. They want that force to be in consultation with Egypt and Israel. Who would make up that force? We don't know for a fact, but some of the volunteers are Egypt, Azerbaijan, Indonesia, Pakistan, and Turkey are raising their hands. And the missions they're thinking about it, the what of it, is challenging. Certainly to stabilize security, secure the borders, here's the tough part. Destroy militant infrastructure, another tough part. Demilitarize the militants.
Now, that is a big deal. The militants, demilitarize them, make them more accessible or rather accepting of peace than war and hate. Ukraine has long-range drones. And they now have hit targets at an industrial plant about 800 miles inside Russia. The army itself, the Ukraine army, is still locked down in intense battle as the Russians are pushing on a key city in the eastern Donetsk region. But two drones did target this industrial facility 800 miles inside Russian territory. But there's this side of the story, too. The investigation is underway as to what happened this last weekend as an elite Ukraine group of soldiers were gathered together for a special award ceremony for the things they had done to help save their country. There were several Ukrainians gathered together, and they got hit by a missile fired from Russia. One Ukrainian journalist said that his brother, an elite drone operator, was killed during that ceremony. How did the Russians know that these Ukraine elite forces would be gathered in one spot for an award ceremony? The investigation, as I said, continues. The war itself continues. The dying continues on both sides. We're nowhere near the fragile peace as it would be in the Middle East. We're nowhere near that right now with Russia and Ukraine. And right now it looks like it's farther down the road. How many more have to die on either side? Who wants to be the last to die in this war? No one. So the battle continues. Coming up, the unfiltered hate for Trump and conservatives. When I say unfiltered, I mean it's repulsive, it's dangerous and deadly. Prime example, the Charlie Kirk assassination and the attempts upon President Trump. The left is filled with hate. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He's just a vile creature. The worst thing on the face of the earth, but anyway.
You think he's the worst thing on the face of the earth?
I do, yeah. I do.
Why is that?
Because he's the president of the United States and he does not honor the Constitution of the United States.
Joe Biden.
In fact, he's turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court.
Joe Biden.
He's abolished the House of Representatives.
Joe Biden.
He's chilled the press.
Joe Biden?
He's chilled the press.
No,
he's
that
scared
wouldn't be Biden.
People who are in our country legally.
Nancy Pelosi. Obviously, her target was not Biden. It was Donald Trump. And everything she said was a lie. It's a lie. He has not destroyed the House. He's not turned the Supreme Court into a rogue court. Pelosi has decided she will run again. And you know why she's going to run again? She's 85 years old, but she's going to run again. Why? Because she wants to make sure the Democrats hold her seat. She's afraid if she does not run, then someone will come in and they might lose the seat. I think she thinks too highly of herself, to be quite honest. I think any Democrat could walk up there and say, I'm running in place of Nancy, and they would get the same votes. But she's looking at herself as the savior of the Democrat Party and the savior of the House Democrats, I should say. If she's reelected, will she serve the full 2 years? Could be, and I don't wish any ill will upon her. But I would also say not likely that if she's reelected, she'll look for a time to bow out and may have to, unfortunately, because of health. And then the governor will appoint someone to fill the slot until the next election. But the way she calls Trump being vile and dangerous, you throw around these terms long enough, and you repeat them, and you beat the drum every time with them, pretty soon, even those who maybe not like Trump, but now they've turned to hate him because of your language. You can't find anything at all nice to say about the guy? I have not heard one time where Pelosi has ever said anything nice about Trump. Larry, have you heard him say anything about her, that's nice. Okay, you got me there. I can't come up with an ideal. I think he probably did, but I'm gonna accept your premise. But why do they continue to just go after him? It is clearly what we've labeled a long time ago, Trump derangement syndrome, TDS. It is a real illness among the leftists. And even Democrats who are not hardcore AOC Bernie Sanders left, they also are infected by it. They might only run a fever with it, but they're still infected by TDS. The party of hate is the Democrat Party. And I have a lot of Democrat friends. Some go to my church. We share social things together. I have relatives. Some of them actually don't like Trump, but they're also gracious in their remarks and showing some grace and humility when it comes to going after him. Some don't. But the more often you repeat that someone is a danger to the country, a Hitler, which they want to now walk away. Well, nobody's ever called him Hitler. You are absolutely out of your mind. You think we're going to listen to that line again. You not only call him a Hitler, you mock him, and you anytime he raises his hand and just a wave to the crowd, that's a Heil Hitler salute. Let me give you an example of how deep this hatred goes, not just for Trump, but for you if you're conservative. Maybe you're an independent. If you're not in their camp, if you're not wearing their colors, you are considered an enemy. Dateline Montana. We have a Republican senator, Tim Sheehy. He was getting a phone call from a Helena, or maybe they call her Helena Montana. I don't know. I don't live there. I could care. But she's on a city commissioner. She's a candidate for the city commission in that city. And she wanted to send a direct message to this Republican senator. It had to go to his voicemail because he wasn't available to listen. So everything she said got recorded. When you listen to this, when you listen to it, think of what kind of person must be spewing such vile.
Hi, this is Haley McKnight. I'm a constituent in Helena, Montana, and I just wanted to let you know that you are the most insufferable kind of coward and thief. You just stripped away health care for 17 million Americans, and I hope you're really proud of that. I hope that one day you get pancreatic cancer and it spreads throughout your body so really? Fast that they can't even treat you for it. I hope that you die in the street like a dog. One day, you're going to live to regret this. I hope that your children never forgive you. I hope that you are infertile. I hope you never manage to be a barren lover again. You are the worst piece of shit I've ever had the misfortune of looking at. And you don't serve Montanans. You serve your own private interests. All that you have done since you've gotten into power is do shit for yourself. God forbid that you ever meet me on the streets because I will make you regret it. Help you. I hope you die.
Her name is Haley McKnight, a candidate to serve on the city commission in Helena, Montana. She's not even running against this guy. And yet she wants to spew this kind of filth. I hope you get pancreatic cancer. And it's found too late for them to help you. And you die a horrible death. Let me put it to you this way. If she were a member of the Republican Party or a member of, quote, MAGA, and expressing those views against Pelosi, Schumer, Obama, I would call it out and say that is wrong. How many on the left will step forward and say that? How many on the left? And I say it not because I'm trying to prove I'm better than anyone else. I'm saying it because it's a right thing. You do not fall to that depravity, supposedly. As I pointed out, the New York City polls will close here at the end of this hour. Numbers have been surging in and out. Not going to bother with the numbers today. We'll wait till all the dust settles. But I had not had a chance to bring this to your attention. There's a rabbi, Moshe Endig, and I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, that did step forward and endorse Mondaneh at a public meeting. He did it Sunday. And finally got it out onto some sources that he had endorsed previously Cuomo in the mayoral primaries. But then in an interview with the New York Times, he didn't rule out adding Mondaneh to his slate of endorsements. That was back in June. And now he is adding his endorsement to a man who hates Jews and wants an intifada to destroy all Jews. This is a rabbi. He's a faction of the Hasidic community. And according to this rabbi, he considered Mondaneh, quote, a very nice guy, very humble. I don't want him to go on a rant like you heard that that councilman go against a Republican candidate for Senate or House, but why would you step forward and endorse a man that hates you and your religion? But he said, according to my conversation, he told me he's not an anti-Semite, and he'll work with the entire city, all communities. Well, yeah, I know he said that. And he has been meeting with Jewish leaders across the city. But his criticism of Israel in general had divided the Jewish community. The latest Quinnipiac poll, 60% of Jewish voters said they are voting for Cuomo. But 16% of Jews said they will vote for Mondaneh. And the rabbi apparently is leading some of them to do so. Rabbi, you should be ashamed. Coming up, you remember the housing problems we had years ago? If someone had done something about it, you might be better off. Secretary Bessent.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, ShawRealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Woo-hoo!
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
With the reciprocal tariffs, you know, there's something called a tipping point, and these trade deficits that we've had for years, you know, 20, 30 years, especially since the China shock in the early 2000s, we were close to a breaking point, and the president did not want us to get there. You know, imagine if someone had held their hand up in 2006, 2007 and said, we're on the verge of a housing crisis. Well, President Trump raised his hand and said, we are on the verge of a balance of payments crisis, a trade crisis, and I'm going to use IEEPA. That is what emergency powers are for.
That is Secretary of Treasury Bessent talking about how Trump dealing with the tariffs and trying to get things reorganized across the globe, forestalling maybe a real upside down turn in our economy. The tariffs that have been imposed so far, they have not really hurt you. You might end up paying a few cents here and there for something else, or you buy something entirely different, or you buy only in America. Same thing with some of the companies. They're either doing more onshore U.S. building and planning and doing less offshore. And they're doing everything they can to reduce any tax they might face if they're importing. And as Bessent said, if someone had just raised their hand during the housing crisis of 2008, we might have avoided that. By 2008, we were already deep into it. But as he said, if they'd done it in 2007 or 6 and said, this is going the wrong way, this is not going to work out. Because it was based upon the same premise that we're getting from socialists now and those who complain about trying to level the playing field with tariffs. You really want China to charge you 150% tariff for anything the U.S. sends them. And then you charge them maybe 5% tariff for anything they send you. Now, those numbers are overblown. I'm just making them up out of thin air, but they're very close to the fact that the disparity creates an uneven playing field. And for too long, let me correct that, for too damn long, the U.S. has been the subject of being bend over, grab your ankles, we'll take care of things. Yeah, just that direct. Let's go back and look at the 2008 housing crisis. It had a combination of factors that led to that. There was a push for risky subprime mortgages, created a housing bubble fueled by low interest rates and speculation. Then a bunch of those loans that were considered risky got bundled together into various financial products, mortgage-backed securities. There was a lot of lose credit, buy now or miss out mentality that led to an increase in home prices. Selling a home, you did great. Trying to buy one, well, you had a good opportunity because you were going to get it one way or the other, even if you could not afford it. So it wasn't just the private companies that were doing it. It was our own government. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, government-sponsored enterprises that buy and guarantee mortgages, they became insolvent due to heavy losses on their portfolios. Both of them were heavily concentrated in the U.S. residential mortgage market. And banks and loaning companies and finance institutions were told, don't worry about a credit check. Yeah, this person barely has a job. They'll have enough money for 1 month's payment. Give them a home. Everybody should have a home. But they're not going to be able to pay for it. That's all right. Just go ahead and do it, and we'll work our way through it. 3-6 months into it, there's no money coming in. They may not even have a job. Foreclosure signs grew faster than weeds. And it put a lot of people in dire straits. People that genuinely thought this is a good idea. They wanted a home. I'm getting a chance to get it at a very low rate. Even though I have bad credit and no job, they're going to help me get a home. I will have the American dream. It became an albatross, an anchor around their neck, dragging them to the bottom. And many, the only way out was to declare bankruptcy. Homes were foreclosed on. Homes suddenly littered with trash and overgrown yards. Very nice properties. I remember specifically during that time, and being down in Destin, Florida, great vacation spot, right? And my dad and I were playing golf together. And we're driving around, and there were some massive, big, beautiful homes on the edge of the golf course. But every third one had a foreclosure sign on it. Now, maybe those folks had the money and could afford it, but they just decided, why should I continue to hold on to this? I can just walk away from it. Let somebody else hold the bag. That would be you, the taxpayer. And how much money was used to bail out companies, quote, too big to fail? And how many of the mortgage industries and even investment companies went belly up during that time? And it was all brought on because of a pipe dream. And somebody was smoking something other than tobacco. And they got others to buy into it. But Besson is saying if someone had raised a hand then and said, this is not going to work, guys. Can you not look at, are you not smart? You're supposedly Harvard, Yale graduates. I mean, and you don't see this on the horizon? Really? He said, if someone had raised a hand, we might never have gone through that. I personally went through it. I know many of you did, or you have family or friends did. Are you fully recovered yet? Some aren't. Some never will be. And that's what he's saying right now. Trump has raised his hand, references tariff imbalance. So we need to put a halt to it now. Thank God he has the foresight. Of course, we also have the other issue in this country that whatever you're trying to do with your life, your family, your job, your medical needs, your education for your children, you are in competition not with another American, but with millions of illegals who might well be terrorist actions.
The message we cannot send to the whole world is enter the country legally. It's a crime. Don't worry about it. Either show up in court or don't show up in court and be ordered removed by a federal judge. No one's looking for you. That's not the message we're sending. The reason we have the most secure border in the history of this nation today is because the leadership of President Trump and because of what ICE is doing on the interior. These operations are sending messages across the whole world. It's no longer okay to cross the border legally, and you're not going to be released into the United States. And when you get order removed, you're going to be deported. So I looked at the numbers this morning. Total deportations since President Trump's been in office is just shy of 570,000. That is a record. So President Trump is keeping his promise to American people to have the biggest deportation operation in the history of this nation, plus to have the most secure border in the history of this nation. And with 10,000 new agents coming on board within the next 60, 90 days, you're going to see these numbers go even higher.
And yet we will still have the illegal among us. But hopefully the worst of the worst will be gathered up. But there will probably be some that were swept up in a raid. They're found to be, quote, undocumented. They will be deported as well. I was watching last night a rerun of an episode of Law and Order. Do you ever follow that program? I thought it said excellent writing and excellent material in it. There had been a murder that they were investigating. The eyewitness they needed to testify at the trial was reluctant because she was, quote, undocumented. And the prosecutor told her, we're not looking to go after you, but we need your testimony to solve this murder. So she did agree to testify. She had been living in the U.S. for 10 years, had not applied for citizenship until maybe 2 weeks before the trial, thinking maybe I need to get this in order now. She had her family here. She had never lived in the part of Mexico where she had come from originally, I mean, as a child. And now a judge is watching her on the stand, and he realizes she's undocumented. And he tells her that you can leave the stand, but I want you to stay in my courtroom. And the court judge made a decision to turn her over to immigration. This is long before the flood of immigrants, thank you, Joe Biden, that hit our borders. And the prosecutor who had told her, we're not coming after you, we just need you to help us get this killer. She was torn up inside. She felt like, I've destroyed this woman's life. We got the killer off the streets, but what have I done to this woman? And the closing cap to that segment, the chief district attorney is listening to her at a table in a restaurant as she's pleading, is there not something we can do? He said, anything we would try right now would take too long. You're just going to have to let it play out. He said, we can't be responsible for all of them. His young prosecutor leaves the table, and a waiter comes up, a glass and a pitcher of water. Mas agua, senor? And the chief prosecutor says, si. Underlying, underscoring how many illegals we have in this country that are simply trying to earn a living, trying to assimilate, not gangs and thugs. And they are adding to our culture, but they're also, with the open border policy of thank you, Joe Biden, are destroying our economy, jobs, schools, health care, and putting more of a burden on real Americans. It's not an easy choice. You don't want anyone to suffer. You shouldn't want anyone to suffer. All right, let's leave on a positive note. What our nation could see in the not too distant future. This is according to Treasury Secretary Bessent.
I think next year we're going to go back to what we had in President Trump's first term, which was very solid, high, non-inflationary growth. So we're going to see very strong job growth, and I think we're going to have what I call parallel prosperity. Main Street can do well, Wall Street can do well. It's been a long time since Main Street's done well, and that's what happened in Trump 1.0. Hourly workers did better than supervisory workers. The bottom 50% of households had a net worth increase that was higher than the top 10%. So we are going to see Main Street surge here along with Wall Street, which we've already seen. So I think it's going to be a great year next year. I think inflation is going to come down. You know, we're seeing gasoline prices come down. We should see interest rates come down, which will help the housing market.
Those are all positive factors. That is Treasury Secretary Bessent. He's not just blowing smoke on what he thinks will happen. He's making those statements based on what he truly believes and looking at the numbers he sees. You can see some of the numbers yourself right now. What are you paying per gallon for gasoline right this moment? If you're putting premium in, I don't think you're paying more than $3.30, if that much, a gallon. And I've seen it right at $3.02 or something, premium. If you're using regular unleaded, you're probably getting it for maybe $2.80, $2.60. And if the interest rates are pulled back again, that will spur more growth. We see Wall Street begin to accelerate again. The Dow could hit still yet another high. But we all need to be pulling together. And right now we have Democrats so angry with Trump and any success, they would rather you suffer. They want you to suffer. They want you to suffer. Make no mistake about it. They do not have your goodwill in their mind. And they'll do everything they can to make you suffer. But I like the prediction that Besson gave us. I'd like to see it come true. Will all of it? I don't know. So what did you learn this hour you didn't know when we began the hour? As I say every hour, Larry Connors, USA, news, analysis, opinion, and education. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.